Well, this morning we're going back into our teaching on divine healing. And so we've been teaching and looking into this subject. We've been looking at considering it people, specifically individual cases where people were healed. It's really a sort of an important thing to do. It's one of the things is the more you listen on a subject and the more you hear it and hear things over and over again, you don't get to the point. You know, it's one thing as I learned, Randall Greer says this all the time. He said, because, you know, he talks about with people who went to Raymond when Brother Hagin was there, that he said that one thing that Brother Hagin would deliver you from was, you know, the because so many people, they don't want to hear the same thing over and over again. Well, Brother Hagin would deliver you from that because he would be very repetitive over and over and over again and teach the same things over and over again. And one time in a meeting, he was in a meeting on a certain subject and thing he was talking about, and he taught certain things, and he got the next time and taught the exact same thing, and he was questioned about that. He said, "Why'd you teach the same thing again?" He said, "Because that's all I know about it." Too many people teach a lot they don't know. but being repetitive is a wonderful thing. It's one thing if you want to develop in the areas of faith, you're going to have to be a person who doesn't dislike the things of being repetitive. People always like something new and different today, and that's one of the big problems we have. You're not going to learn. You're not going to learn if you're that way. You know, it's one thing is we go over things and it might seem repetitive to you what I'm doing, but I'm going over it more than you do. I go over it 100 times more than you hear me preach it. And so, you know, and it's one thing is people need to hear it. Number one, if you can't do what the Word says, you ain't heard it enough yet. You know, we teach about divine healing, and most people can't get healed divinely. They can't get it, and they think they know of the subject. Well, you don't know the subject till you can get it, till you can do it. That's when you know the subject. It ain't knowing the subject. And so get over, sit down and listen, and we're going over. Today we're going to go into some, look at some other folks in the areas of healing, because if we look at these things, there's things that are a little different sometimes about each one. But remember, God deals with people according to where they are in their faith. We found out that different people got healed different ways. And we found some of them, it was because the way that they chose. They chose certain ways. In other words, they set their faith in a direction. But God will always want you to use faith. God will move you toward faith. And so that's something you always want to be, keep yourself in mind of. Lots of times people don't do that. You know, most of the time people get the idea that, well, you know, God just might do something and, you know, He's just going to do it different. God's never going to move you into an area where you can't walk. That'd be a stupid thing to do. You know, from an educational system, you know, would we turn around and teaching kids general math and adding, subtracting, dividing, and throw a test on them of algebra which they've never had? They won't do that. Because why? You haven't been taught it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You can only have faith in an area to operate in an area that you've been taught or you know you've heard. So then you can start to move into that area. And from the natural standpoint, the church somehow seems to think they have this idea that somehow you just jump into things and God just moves you into. He doesn't do it that way. God will always teach you about things first that lead you into it. If He don't teach you, how is He going to lead you into it? And this is one of the things Jesus said. Jesus said you ain't going to go any further than your teacher. This is why a lot of Christians never go very far into Christianity. It's their teacher's fault. Their teachers don't know very much. They can't lead people into things they don't know. Aren't teaching. See, so many people think they're trying to get God to do things, especially healing. You don't find healing in churches that don't preach healing. You know, I was born and raised in a church, and you didn't have healing going on in a church. Now, during the healing revivals of the 1950s, the church that I went to, we saw one person get healed, and it was only because of them they asked to be anointed. The church would have never offered to anoint anybody in anything. We saw one person get healed. But during that whole time of that revival things and went on, nobody ever got healed, and the reason they didn't, there was no faith for healing. They never taught the subject. So there was no faith for it. They couldn't go there. The people can't go there because the leaders never took them there because the leaders were never there. So they can't go there. And, you wouldn't want me to come to you and teach you, you know, biology. I don't know it. The subject. You'd have to listen to somebody teach you the subject. And somehow in the church world, sometimes to me seems like to be some of the most ignorant, because how they think about when they get over into Christianity, it's just like things just naturally drop on us. They don't. You have to be taught them. And so this is why we're doing this. We're going over this. God wants to drill this in. If there's what's the point of having a healing revival if the church can't cooperate in the revival? See, everybody wants all this stuff to happen without learning about it. Well, it doesn't work that way. Well, I want you to go over to Luke, the 17th chapter. Luke, the 17th chapter. You know, let me just tell you, the Lord brought this up to me, and I'm just going to tell you a little bit of experience-wise in the areas of learning. When I was in the service in the Army, I was trained as a microwave systems technician, which at that time was one of the top schools that you could go to in the Army for learning electronics, because they taught us electronics, but also taught us some electronics engineering. They taught us some things, be able to make electronic equipment combat serviceable, like, because, you know, in war going on, things get damaged sometimes, and you just can't always be, you know, get a part right away or get things, and we would have to learn how to make things combat serviceable, keep something running, being able to at least partially keep things going, even when you don't have all the regular parts, how to redo some circuitry and different things. They would teach us those things and how to do those things. And so we went through those schools, but we had one of the things I went to Vietnam, and we found there was a huge problem there because we had loads of people who were in the service, and many of them for many years, and many sergeants and different ones and all that kind of stuff, who had been in, you know, the military for 10, 15 years. But they have not gone through the schools concerning the newer equipment and what, in other words, things have changed and being taught, you know, differently and stuff, and integrated circuitry because of NASA and all that stuff, and the development of the integrated circuits and that kind of stuff with the transistors and all that stuff. Well, everything is being changed. And these people knew nothing about this equipment. They didn't know anything about it. They had been trained in electronics to a certain point, but these people, they were in the military for years, and they were making the military a career. But when I was in Vietnam, one of the units that I was in, most of us young guys, in fact, I was 19 years old when I was in Vietnam, and the site that I was on, everybody, all the guys were 19 years old except one guy. We had a sergeant there, and he was like 20, 21, somewhere around there. And on the site, the rest of our NCOs and different officers were not even allowed on our sites because they knew nothing about the equipment. They weren't trained on it. Now, even though they were involved, in a sense, you could sort of put like being a Christian. They were like, say, a Christian, but they had never been trained. It's who's been trained. It has nothing to do with your age in Christianity. How long you've been born again has anything to do whether you're spiritual or not. There's loads of young Christians that are much more mature than a lot of older Christians. Being a Christian for a long time, you could have been taught, it's just like those sergeants. They were taught things, but their things weren't relevant anymore. Their thing, the direction, there was, they changed. What happened was, is they didn't go along, when they re-enlisted, when you re-enlisted, you could have re-enlisted to take certain schools or doing things. They didn't do that. They just wanted to stay in their old way and in their old stuff and their thinking. That's most Christians today. They'll always stay in their old way and their old thinking. That's what they want to go along in. We need to make some changes. We need to go along to different things that are being taught. There's a lot of people, you're not going to be able to help them till they want to change. A lot of Christians, you can't help them till they want to change. And sometimes life got to go bad for people before they want to change. Don't always try to run around and fix everything for everybody. Think you're loving. Sometimes you need to let it get bad for them till they want to change. Most people, they get into the thing, they want to make a change. Now, I don't like to see people have a hard time. I don't get over it. God don't change everything in this world because people are having a bad time, or everything would be running wonderful today, wouldn't it? Get like God. So people have to learn to deal with things. You got to get, when you get people to the point they want to make a change, then you can do something for them. Praise God. That was all free. The Holy Ghost just wanted you. You need to get over in those areas. But keep yourself. You don't have to get to the point as you get older. Like people say, people get older and they get set in their ways. You don't have to do that. You choose to do that maybe. You don't get set in your ways. Always be willing to change. See, it's the things that I, you know, learn along. A lot of things, you know, you do from yourself and natural. You know, people come along and, you know, I remember when, you know, they started the computer thing and people get fussing about all bringing out computers. Computers are here. Get over it. Either learn them or you're going to be sitting the side. There's things you're never going to get into. You need to want to learn and change. And if you don't, you're a problem. You get around. Life's changing. You got to learn to know how to do stuff. It ain't going to be the same anymore. You know, I ain't using a lantern at home. Somebody had to change. You know, I watched people when I was a kid, and they never wanted to go along with any innovation. It was always just this, always, you know, it was always something, you know, bad. They just wanted to stay with the old, and then they were there with the old, and then they got older, couldn't take care of themselves because could have been things that had been a whole lot easier for them, but through their stubbornness, you know, people, well, if God wanted you to fly, he would have gave you wings. Well, if God wanted you to drive a car, he would have gave you one. So if you're driving one, you're in sin. He'd have put wheels on your feet. He didn't. I just hate to hear all that stupid religious. And it ain't nothing but devilish, evil, religious stuff. To keep ourselves from learning things. The devil gets in and the devil don't want you to succeed. He don't want you to get ahead. He don't want you to improve your life. Let me say, every major revival, when we were in Bible school, we studied history of the church. Every major revival that went along brought all kind of new invention. See, God's wisdom. You know, back when the Dark Ages were going on and we turned around, there was a guy got himself a revelation. His name was Luther. Salvation was by faith. When that revival started in Europe, all of a sudden, all kind of the printing press was invented. They came along, optics, all kind of things started like that. Those things came along. They weren't from the devil. They were from God. You know? We went turn around. It's today. A lot of what you follow revival. Back in the healing revival, you start looking back from the 50s, the healing revival started in the 60s. The just like in the areas of electronics alone in the United States, the changes that were made. Why? Because when light comes, men see how to do things to be a blessing to people. Things aren't bad because somebody uses it for bad. You know, people say, well, you shouldn't have a television because there's bad stuff on it. Well, if you use it for bad stuff, you're an idiot. But you can put good stuff on it. Animate objects aren't bad. It's stupid people with stupid brains are bad. Religion is always trying to take us to the dark ages. God's trying to move us forward. Heaven ain't going to be dark ages. You know, you get to heaven, you won't think so stupid. And if you do, you'll be out of place. You know, it's people, around people all the time, people just, you know, change is such a terrible thing. Man, thank God we can change. Thank God we can. I'd hate to think I'd stay this stupid the whole time I'm down here. If this is as far as I'm getting, what's the point of even being here? My words, I want to know more than I know now, don't you? Hallelujah. Like Kenneth Hagin used to say to us, he used to say, man, I tell you, he said, think about how little I know. And he said, but just think about you, how little you know. We used to say, amen, brother. Preach that one. Hallelujah. Might as well say amen. I used to think about it. Yeah. You always want to develop and grow. Make sure you develop and grow. Luke 17, we're going to look at as some healing goes on here. And there needs to be some interesting things because this is one of the things where I never really heard it preached or taught the way the whole thing goes. There's usually what they have is people get one thing said out of something and everybody just mimics that. You know, and we're going to look here in Luke the 17th chapter. We're going to find there's 10 lepers that are healed. Now, in these 10 lepers that are healed, we want to look at this. Starting in verse 12, it says, then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. Now I want to stop there because one of the things you were talking about, and I said in the beginning, God's always trying to move you into the area of faith. God wants you to respond in some manner in faith. Now here we have these guys, they come along. So this we know, they know that Jesus is a healer. They know that. They meet him. So there's 10 of them, 10 lepers, and they meet them. Now, they said, Jesus, have mercy on us. And Jesus says, go show yourselves to the priest. And as it says, as they went, they were cleansed. In other words, they weren't healed when he said, go show yourself to the priest. They had to act in faith. They had to have actions of faith. They had to follow what he said. And they did. And I want you to get a hold of this. Many times people are coming and they want hands laid on them for healing and all that stuff. And when they come, they pay no attention to the person who's ministering to them. Sometimes people don't pay attention to what the person says or does. If you are not going to listen, stay seated. Don't bother going. Jesus told them, number one, God is always going to move to try to get you to do something in faith. Always going to. He wants to get you to in actions of faith. Many people want something. Wanting something from God is not faith. Even believing God wants you to have it, that is not faith. You have to be able to receive it. And in receiving it, you do it through your actions. These guys, nothing has changed for them. Jesus says, go show yourself to the priest. So what do? They just start heading to go show themselves to the priest. They just start doing it. Boy, if I get people to do that, my God, what you could ever get done. In the church world, you got it's like pulling teeth trying to get people to go do something. Getting people to act. You know, you preach stuff what people ought to do and they never do it. And then they're going to pray for me, I need blessed. But they've never done what they were told to do. You know, actions say a whole lot more than words. See, a lot of the faith people have become talk people. That's all they are is talk. They're just talk people. Good, it's good to talk the right thing. It's helpful to talk the right thing. But to talk and have actions that don't correspond doesn't really do much good. It doesn't do any good at all. James says that's called dead faith. Well, we want to look at something. Why did he say to them to go see the priests? Why did he say that to them? You need to understand this. Jesus came to fulfill the law. Jesus came to fulfill the law. He's not going to act outside of it. According to the law, for a leper to be able to go back into society, he had to go to the priest and be declared cleansed by the priest. He had to offer certain sacrifices and do things. And Jesus is not a lawbreaker. And we need to understand this. You need to get a hold of this fact. This is one of the reasons why most Christians never get healed and won't get healed, because they won't follow the word. They follow their religious ideas, their religious thinking about what somebody told them. They never verify that that's what the Bible says. And even sometimes I've had people, I told them what the Bible says, but they said, well, we don't believe it that way. Well, then what are you doing asking me to pray for you for? You know, if you got it all and you know it all, why would you be getting me? See, people they get over and they think there's some kind of sense in what they're doing. They don't realize there's a bit of insanity going on here. They're doing a little bit of crazy stuff. But understand this, Jesus is following the law. Jesus is not going to tell these guys to go out in society without the priest saying they're all right. That's the law. The law required that. The law of Moses required that they prove themselves going to the priest, he will declare them cleansed for them to go back into society. So Jesus is going to follow that. That's why he did it. So he's following in line with the word. Well, we find this. It goes on. It says, then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice glorifying God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. It says, so Jesus answered and said, where then were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Now, most that I've ever heard this teach, people always teach about this guy here coming back and, you know, giving thanks. I want you to understand this. He wasn't healed because he came back and gave thanks. He didn't get healed because he came back and gave thanks. They were all healed. The scripture says, Jesus even said they were. It still requires faith. It don't require thanks. It requires faith. It is a good thing to be thankful. But number one, they got healed by their actions of faith. That's how they got healed. See, that change is not here. See, it's good to say, you know, this guy came back and he publicly came back and he was thankful. But they all got cleansed by their faith. Their faith made them well. When he said to this man, your faith has made you well, well, their faith made them well too. Now, they should have come back. What he's talking about here is Jesus is looking at the fact. In other words, there was 9 Jews there and there was 1 Samaritan who is looked down on by the Jews. The Jews won't even go into the house of a Samaritan. They won't even go into their home. They won't go into their home and eat. They wouldn't go home. You know, they're outsiders. You don't do that. So they're all lepers there hanging out. But what are the Jews do? The Jews don't come back. And it's like, you know, we talked about before. We looked at the centurion and the Syrophoenician woman who are both outside the Jewish covenant, yet they understood faith better than the Jews did. And here again, we see the Jews. See, we need to understand what is going on here. Jesus Christ was sent to reach the Jews. But you know, as a whole, he didn't reach them. 70 AD, Jerusalem fell. The Jews have been put up with a plague ever since their rejection of Jesus Christ. Nationally, it has been all the stuff that they've gone to because of their rejection of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And see, you can see this time and time again through the scriptures. People don't understand why this stuff's put here. It's because of what's going on. So you can see what is happening. It seemed that the outsiders knew more about what God wanted than the people who had the covenant. It sounds like the church today. Their sinners on the outside got more sense than the church got. At least sinners know what's generally going in the church world don't work. Seems that Christians don't know what they're doing don't work. They just keep stumbling through the same messes all the time, going through the same nonsense, never working, calling it, well, God's will, you know. They don't ever stop and say, hey, hold it. What on earth are we believing? What on earth are we doing? No, they just keep beating the old same path down through, going through the same drudgery of life, lose their joy of their salvation and everything else. Hallelujah. See the things going on, and all they are is moved by what's going on around them. Oh, things are so terrible today. I'm going to tell you the kingdom's better than it's ever been, I think. Hallelujah. It's because I know more about it. I can hook up with it. God isn't getting less. He's getting more. Hallelujah. Bible says where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Well, there ought to be a lot of grace abounding today. There's loads of sin. Hallelujah. So the grace must be big. But the church don't see it that way. The church sees all the things that are happening, you know. And they think of themselves, they look at themselves as like, I grew up in a church and, oh man, the people on the outside, the sinners, my words, unclean, man. They were definitely the lepers. You didn't get near anybody who was a sinner. You stay away from them, it might get on you. You don't get around them. You know, that's what they did. That was their routine. It was so bad. And the world's so bad. And Jesus is going to come and take us 35 people off and there ain't going to be nobody else left. That's it. And all the rest of them, you know, they're going to all be lost. And just us, the clan, you know, we're going to go. And I'm thinking, man, I ain't even going to go when they leave. You know, and I got to the point where I didn't want to go if they left. I thought if they left, things are going to improve down here. So, glory to God. Hallelujah. But I want you to see this. It required faith for them to be healed. Thank God. We want to be thankful people. And this guy came back and thanked and glorified God, which is a wonderful, a good thing that he did. And you need that thing of where you know, when it, many times people have, God does good things for people and people never give thanks to God for stuff. I had an individual that God used me. This individual, I mean, God did a miraculous thing for the individual, and had a health issue that they could have easily died from. And God used me and got him healed. They had no faith for it. They even told me. They said, when I prayed for them, they said, I don't believe these things, but they said, I know you do. You pray for me. And I prayed for them, and they got delivered. And after about a year or so, the Lord spoke to me one day. And he said, you know, I delivered them, and they knew it. I was staying right at the bed when the doctor told the individual, he said, we operated on you. He said, well, I didn't do it to save you. He said, this was miraculous. He said, what happened that you got delivered? He said, this is miraculous. He said, we don't have anywhere in, he said, this person their liver was attached to this tumor about the size of a football. And the doctor said, this type of tumor always grows into whatever it touches. It grows into it, this type of tumor. And he said, yours didn't. He said, we peeled it right off there. He said, no damage to the liver. We said anything whatsoever. He said, we have no medical record. He said, of any place that we ever known that this has ever happened. He said, we don't know. And he told the guy right at the bed, he said, God delivered you. But you know, one day the Lord spoke to me concerning the individual. The Lord said to me, I delivered them. They know it. He said, they've never thanked me. They've never done nothing. He said that he'd just gone on and lived his own life and doing his own thing and has paid no attention. And the Lord spoke to me, and he wasn't happy about it when he said it. It wasn't some sweet voice. I could tell that God was not pleased about this at all. And within a few months, the person dropped dead. God kill him? God didn't kill him. But I'm going to tell you what, ungrateful and unthankful people, life ain't going to turn out well. There's a lot of Christians in that category. Ungrateful, unthankful. Not a good place to be. Not a good place to be. Hallelujah. You want to keep yourself over where you stay grateful and thankful. We can learn from that thing. But we want to understand that man did not, the Samaritan did not get healed because he was thankful. He got healed because he acted in faith. That's how he got healed. Thank God he came back and thank God. But is another thing, is showing yourself to the priest. They needed to be obedient to do that. Because I want to look at Mark in the first chapter. Mark, the first chapter, we're going to look at another with an individual here. We learned something with an individual about healing. It's another individual who is a leper. We can understand, it's another thing, you know, we have here, we can understand about faith and its usage here. In Mark, the first chapter, concerning Jesus, it says here in the 40th verse, it says, now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now I want you to understand this. This man came, he's a leper. He comes to Jesus and he says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. In other words, this man's faith went to this far. He knew Jesus could do it. But that's where his faith stopped. He knew as far as Jesus can do it. See, a lot of people are in that category today. Many Christians, they believe God can heal. But that doesn't do you any good. That's not going to get you healing till you can go to the next step, that if you can believe, he will heal you. See, we have today, so many people think it's a big deal. I've heard people say, well, we believe in healing. And I say, well, what does that mean? You believe in healing. I said, when you talk about believing in healing, what do you mean? From a medical standpoint or what to begin with? Anyhow, there's doctors believing in healing. And they don't like, some of them don't like God at all. So it don't mean, so, but this man believed Jesus could do it, but what he wanted to find out, he said, if you're willing, you can make me clean. In other words, I know you can do it, but I have to know if you're willing to do it. And this is one of the things is why, really, I probably is probably one of the major reasons of why Christians don't get healed is because they're not sure God wants them well. most teaching that goes on is that God may want you sick, or God is doing something. He's working something out in your life. He's doing, well, then if that's so, then he's not willing to heal you. So it matters not that you believe he can do it. It produces zero. You cannot receive healing except knowing that God wants you well. How could you receive it if he isn't going to give it to you? You couldn't receive it by faith. Faith is where the will of God is known. If you don't know God's will on a certain subject, you cannot have faith. Impossible. It's impossible to have faith if you don't know what the will of God is. It's like salvation. You know, somebody could hear salvation preached and say, God saves people. Yeah, but will he save me? Until that person knows that, they can't receive salvation. They couldn't receive it by faith. There's people believe, I've had, you know, people over the years, I've had people say, you know, I don't know, God would say, I know God wants to save people, but I've just been too bad. See, they don't believe that, they believe God saves, but does it do them any good? No. Until they believe he will save them, they can't receive it by faith. They have to believe that he wants them to have it, then therefore he will give it to them when they ask. Ask and you shall receive. Why does the scripture say those things? If God, you know, I just read a thing, I saw this thing on Fox online, and he had this minister, and he was talking about, every once in a while they put an idiot minister on there in Fox and to give about some spiritual lesson, and this poor guy is dumb as a stick, big church and everything else, you know, but, you know, sometimes God don't give it to you, and sometimes you don't, and, you know, whatever. He's talking about this, about what working your way through life, and And I was reading about it, and I thought, dear Lord, there's about 40 scriptures this poor man don't know. And he got tens of thousands of people sitting under him. And he's making them as dumb as he is. Why would Jesus say, ask and you shall receive, if you aren't going to get it? I mean, because that's just a downright lie. If it ain't true, Jesus Christ is a liar in most churches. He's a liar. He ain't going to back nothing up. Seek and you'll find. Well, sometimes he just don't want you to know. See, there's a place where you got to break forward. What I'm amazed at this man, he understood it. He realized that Jesus could do it, but I need to find out if you will. I need to find out if you will do it. He knew he was lacking something. He understood he needed to be able to go further. He understood that. I meet Christians over the years, by the thousands over the years, and they never see where they're at. They never see they're lacking. They never see where they're, you know, they just never see what they need. They're always searching after something that they don't need. They're always bypassing things. This man understood. Now, I know he can heal me, but I got to find out if he will do it. I need to know that. Why? I want to get it. Will he do it? Why would you want to waste your time on a God who's not going to do it? Why would people, I never understood this, why would churches take prayer requests when people don't believe God might want to heal? What on earth are we going to, why would we waste our time praying and going through the motions? What are we doing? It's ridiculous. Wasting our time. You know, you can't pray long enough to twist God's arm to make him do something he ain't going to do, he don't want to do. What the Bible does says he don't want to do, he ain't going to do it, and you can pray and fast till you drop over dead, and he won't even show up at your funeral because you're so stupid. He'd be hate to admit you belong to him. Dear God. What people just have an idea, they get on this thing. Well, maybe we can, you know, I don't believe him, you know, I don't know if he wants me well at all, but we'll pray and just take a shot. Let's go out to Vegas and get the dice out. Hey, most churches are as much a gambling hall as Las Vegas is. Because their God ain't nothing but a gamble of throwing dice, and they call it praying. And it ain't nothing but throwing dice to see if they can come up with something. And somebody gets lucky and they'll, woo! Oh my God, they don't know how to act. I just hit the jackpot. Everybody else lost, but they hit the jackpot. And nobody else expects to get anything. Well, you know, he was just lucky. He was lucky. He got something.
You know how many times Christians, I'd give my testimony about healing and stuff and things like that. How many times I had Christians tell me, you're really lucky. I think, my God, I'd like to lay my hand on you. Yeah. They don't get it at all. But Jesus said in verse 41, it said, then Jesus moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said, I'm willing. So he came to find out if he's willing. Jesus saw the man. The guy came as far as he understood the faith. Jesus said, I'm willing. Now, you know what? He must have been in the area, accepted that right away. He must have, because we find out what happened. He says, be cleansed. And he said, as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Now listen, Jesus said, and he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourselves to the priest and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. This guy didn't do it. However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city but was outside in the deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. Now, I want you to see this. Jesus told him directly what he was supposed to do. He's supposed to... See, Jesus wants him to fulfill the law. Fulfill the word. This guy, instead of fulfilling... He wanted a testimony of those priests concerning that healing. The guy didn't. The guy didn't obey Jesus. He ran around and did his thing. See, follow the word, folks. When you don't follow the word, you really cramp God from being able to do stuff. When people don't follow the word, we don't see the importance of that today. Today we just think, you know, people, I've had people tell me, you know, well, you're too meticulous about the word. You're just too meticulous about it. Yeah, I'm too meticulous. Wow, they got this freelance Christianity, you know. You run around out here and you do it your way. And you and Frank Sinatra are singing and probably end up in the same place together. Our ideas, our thoughts. This guy was told, here the guys had faith. But he goes off and he don't know. He's healed. Praise God, he's got healed. But Jesus tells him what to do, and he don't. It affected Jesus' ministry. Jesus wanted to be able to go into that town. Now he can't go into that town. You see, obey. Obey. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Jesus wanted to have a testimony. He wanted that man to go down there and fulfill what the law said to do as a testimony to the priest. Now, the priests think Jesus is going around and healing people and he's breaking the law. He didn't break the law. But see, he looks like a lawbreaker because of the disobedience of the man. You understand this. When you disobey the word, you can be hurting other people. Your disobedience can affect what God can do for other people. There's no such thing as this, well, this is just about me and Jesus. No, it's about you and the rest of society too and the rest of the people. You need to follow the word. Do what the word says. Because it has effect on other people. And so we need to walk. We need to understand these things. We're talking about faith and healing, but there's stuff on the sideline here. It's good to see and good to understand and know. That's why you want to follow the word. Jesus came to fulfill the law, and his whole intent was just to do that, was to fulfill the law. What he was doing in healing, see, when we see this, we're going to go on and look over here in another area. We're going to go back to John, the 5th chapter. We're going to look at an incident here. Jesus' ministry, understand, Jesus' healing ministry is under the law. There had to be healing for Israel under the law, or Jesus could not have had a healing ministry under the law. There had to be. God had to have already provided, and he did. Back from the beginning, God said if Israel would follow and do what he told them to do, he said, I'll bless your bread and water, I'll take sickness away in the midst of you. But Israel wasn't walking in that. They're not living in that. They're living under their ideas of the law. They're living under their concepts of the law. Healing's not being preached. Jesus is out preaching healing. Number one, people come to faith for healing. We know that the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees are not preaching healing because nobody's getting healed. We know that. That's why people weren't getting healed. People weren't getting healed because healing ain't being preached. They aren't being preached to them that they'll follow what the word says. They'll be blessed
God will bless their bread and water, take sickness away from them. They're not being taught this. They're taught all these 20,000 laws that they added to the law of Moses. You know, and their little things, don't heal on the Sabbath. Well, why didn't you do it any other than 6 days either? Dear Lord. You know, see, when you become a religious idiot, you just become the biggest idiot in town. You'll be dumber than any sinner in the bunch. You don't heal on the Sabbath. We have 6 days to be healed. How many people get healed in 6 days? None. But it's a good religious way to just admit we don't know what we're doing. We're stupid and idiots, but we're going to act like we're smarter than you. And you might do something that's smart, but we don't want to let you do that because we don't want anybody to look smarter than us. And the whole point of it is everybody always looks smarter than them. Praise God. Good preaching anyhow. But we want to look at something because I want to find sometimes God, we're going to learn something, but God instigates certain times healings. Didn't tell us exactly why, but it was instigated, what we see, by God and not by man and what God does. I want you to look at John, the 5th chapter. We're going to look at this incident here, which we can see some things of Jesus and ministry. Understand this about Jesus. Jesus did not heal or did not minister because he was the Son of God. If he did, then Jesus lied when he said, we'll do the works that he did. If he did it as the Son of God, it's an impossibility. I ain't God, so it ain't happening. Jesus said this. He doesn't do anything that he don't see the Father do. He didn't say anything. He said, I don't say anything I don't hear the Father say. Jesus followed whatever the Word of God, what God has said, what God has done, what he sees God does. So in other words, Jesus is being led by the Spirit. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. He's anointed. He's a man with an anointing. That's what he's operating as out there. That's why God can anoint you to do things, and God can anoint you. This is why the ministry of Jesus Christ can be carried out today. If he did it as God, then within the church, it's impossible for the church to be able to do it. But we do it because God set the precedence through Jesus Christ. And so now it's laid down. Jesus has died, raised from the dead. We believe on him. We're in him. We're the body of Christ. The body of Christ carries out what the head wants. And so the head wants to heal, deliver, set people free. That's what the head wants. That's the ministry of Jesus. So here we have, though, in verse 1 of chapter 5 of John, it says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having 5 porches. And in these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time in the pool, stirred the water. Then whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease they had. Now, I just want you to stop here and think about it. Now, here we have this pool, Bethesda. There's 5 porches there. Now, they say 5 porches. This must have been a huge area because this statement is made here that there lay a great multitude. Now, I want you to understand this. When Jesus fed the 5,000 men plus women and children, he fed them. They were just called a multitude. This statement here, there's a great multitude. Now, number one, here we find the people that are blind, lame, and these are paralyzed people. They're down there in this pool. An angel comes down every so often, stirs the water, and one person, now just think of this, one person gets in, gets healed. That's all gets in, one person. Well, understand this. God ain't going to have everybody come down there and getting healed because there's no faith involved in that. That's all by sight. They get in that water by sight. They're doing what they do by sight. God's trying to get a couple screws tightened up here and some heads, trying to show people he wants somebody healed. They know an angel comes down and does this. Why would an angel do this if God don't want people healed? Now, I want you to think about the stupidity of this. Because we're going to find out, they get mad because this guy gets healed on the Sabbath day, yet the angel comes down and stirs the water on the Sabbath. Would they get mad? Why would those people be laying out the porch on the Sabbath if God wasn't healing on the Sabbath?
Did any of you ever think of that? Well, you know what? The church needs to read the Bible someday. The church keeps listening to what we're religiously taught and don't read the Bible. This whole system that the Jews have running is a fraud. This whole system they got is a fraud. Like many religions are today in Christianity, they're frauds. And they know it. They know it's a bunch of bunk, junk, and hogwash. But it's a good system. It makes good livings for people. It does the whole thing. You make good wages out of it and that kind of stuff. And people ask me, is there any money in the ministry? I tell them, yes, I put a lot in it already. There's good money in the ministry. I put a lot there. Glory to God. But I want you to see this. So this guy's here. Now look what's happening. He's at this pool. We're going to find out about this individual. But there's a multitude laying here. An angel comes and stirs the water. I often thought about what people think today if something like that happened. I mean, there's a lot of word people have a lot of difficulty on that. A lot of word people, I'm going to tell you what, it would be a tough time for them. See, this is one thing is, I really do believe in a lot of ways we limit what God will do. We limit what He's allowed to do. Now, it's number one, God, you know, here we have it, and this is it. Now, we go on. So all these people are there. They're waiting for this. There's a huge multitude. There could be 10,000 people or more here inside this area. It's a great multitude. You know, we don't think there's 200 people. I'm going to tell you, that must have been a pretty huge area that all these people get in there. There's number around, how do you get them in there and all of them around the pool, man? If you're laying in the back, forget it. You see, this is why you want to come to the areas and learn how to operate in faith. Because this is exactly the church today. The church is laying at the pool. The church is this people. And God comes down and stirs the water, and the majority ain't going to get nothing. Because they're laying way in the back, and they ain't got nobody to take them down, and they don't know how to get down, and nobody teaches them how to get well. Nobody teaches them a thing. I'm going to tell you, this is a picture of the church today. God's moving. Very few see it, and very few are touching into it. It isn't because they can't. It's there, but they got, you know what? You're going to have to change the way you think. You're going to have to get in line with what the Scripture says. You get in line with what the Scripture says, and you know what? You can get in the water anytime you want. Hallelujah. That's the wonderful thing about understanding the Word and walking by faith. You can go step in the water anytime. It'll stir for you. Glory to God. You won't need an angel. You'll be the stirrer. Hallelujah. You want to get in faith. You won't have to sit and wait. I'm going to tell you, I mean, just think about it. If you have all those people sitting around there, so if that angel comes down one time a day and does that, 365 days, well, their calendar was, I think, a 361 or something like that, calendar they had. 360 people got healed, and that's it in the year's time. Well, my words, you'd have more people out there, probably ended up lame and everything else. The number's growing. It ain't getting less. Nobody's teaching healing in the church. They're not teaching how to get it. Nobody knows how to get a hold of it. You know, God has you in this condition because, you know, He's trying to make you humble. Well, He had a ton of humble people. You thought He'd have had enough. If you got a multitude, there'd been enough humble people getting humbled. My God. If God made people sick to humble them, every Pharisee would have been paralyzed. Were they? I mean, this is why. Use your brain for more than some religious thing to carry on somebody else's thinking. You know, I don't know. It's just always the strangest thing to me that I've looked around some of the people that need the fixing the most, and people say stuff, well, you get a person pretty decent, and God attacks, said the devil attacks them, and they say God's doing it. And I'm thinking, why would God be attacking the guy that's doing pretty good and letting the guy that's evil go on?
Look over what David said in the Psalms about what's supposed to happen to the wicked, what's supposed to happen to the righteous. I mean, we ought to throw the book of Psalms away because it don't line up with the church world today. We got the exact opposite. God kills the good people and he takes care of the wicked. Hallelujah. Well, it didn't happen at my house, but glory to God. We're going somewhere. Well, we find out here, it says then, verse 5, it says, now a certain man was there who had an infirmity of 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be healed? Now listen, this guy's been here. Listen, he's a certain man. He was there. He had this for 38 years. 38 years he's in this condition. 38 years. Now, Jesus comes up and asks him the question, do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made well? So the man tells him about it. So the sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me. So in other words, I ain't got a chance at this. Whoever's landing there for what it is and that stuff. But basically, he does not expect to get healed. This man has no faith about nothing. He has no confidence. I mean, he don't even have confidence he's ever going to get in the water. He don't even that. He has no faith whatsoever. So we're going to see, well, this gentleman is not healed by faith at all. He's not healed. There's no things with faith. We see here from the standpoint, there's nothing with the guy. Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. It says immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. Now just think about it. Here it is. This is the Sabbath. Here's the Sabbath. They're waiting for the water to stir. Somebody's going to get healed. But see, the Pharisees have another thing on there. They get up mad because he's carrying his bed on the Sabbath. Rule number two to stop anything from good happening. Religion has it. Religion will have 47 rules to cover every angle to keep people from being blessed. It always does. And the rule keepers, they always know the rules about how to keep you in bondage. They know those rules. Any rules about things that would do good, they don't hardly know a thing about it. They know all the rules to hold you in the areas of bondage. Well, so this guy, it was a Sabbath, he said he answered and he goes on and says, the Jews therefore said to him who was cured, it is the Sabbath. It's not lawful for you to carry your bed. See, was Jesus breaking the law for that man carrying a bed? See, the Jews made a law that you couldn't do that. That wasn't the law of Moses. The law of Moses didn't have that rule. That was their rule. If the law of Moses said he wasn't allowed to carry his bed, Jesus had him break the law. See, most churches, most Christians don't know nothing about the law and that stuff. We read these things and we have no idea why it's taking place or what's happening or going on. Jesus told him to pick up his bed. If it was unlawful, if Jesus is a lawbreaker, he cannot be your Savior because he does not fit the qualification of the Savior. The Savior is going to fulfill the law. He didn't. He broke it. Jesus lived the law perfectly. Now just think about it. What did the Jews know about the law? They had a man who fulfilled the law perfectly and they killed him. This is religious today. Most religious people know little about the Word of God. They know little about what God has said. And they're the first to crucify you for breaking the Word. Folks, things never change. They never change. That stuff always stays the same. Religion's always the same. It follows the same pattern. It always follows the same characteristics. It never changes. Why? Because its author is satanic. Religion is based on the wisdom of men influenced by wrong spirits. And the devil don't have a new game plan. He always comes up with the same dumb rules. He might state them a little different. But it's the same nonsense to keep you from getting well, to make you feel guilty if you did get well. Oh, hallelujah. Good preaching anyhow. Hallelujah.
Well, the man was kind, but he answered and said to them, "Who made you?" The man who made me well said to me, "Take up your bed and walk." And they answered him, "Who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk?" But the one who was healed did not know who it was. For Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. This man didn't even know who Jesus was. He didn't know Jesus' message. He never heard it preached. He didn't know who Jesus was or who Jesus preached. This man's not healed from a standpoint. Here we see an initiation of God. But I want you to understand this. For some reason, God went in, healed this man, and left everybody else sick. See, God don't just come along and heal everybody with nobody acting in faith. That's why I've heard over the years people say, "Oh yeah, boy, we ever get hooked up with God, we'll just go clear all the hospitals out." Well, I'm going to tell you what, good luck on that one. I've been around long enough and heard that said long enough, and people ain't doing it. If God wanted to heal everybody in the hospital, he sure could do it. But we have no scriptural basis to stand to believe we're going to be able to do that. There's no scriptural foundation. If Jesus had the opportunity, if he could have just done whatever he could, then why didn't he heal everybody there? Why didn't he do it? Why did he go in and one guy and left? Because he's not, it's a man. He's following what the Spirit of God's showing him to do. We don't go out here and determine our gifts, how we're going to use them and how we're going to make them work. See, we've gotten over in it. We get over into this stuff and into this thinking and into these ways of men. It's one of the things, you want to follow the pattern of the Word. The Word only allows me to believe so far. You know, it just, you know, I've told the story before, but there's a few times I have had the gift of faith, a number of times. The gift of faith operated through me. Now, the gift of faith is not like using your own faith. When the gift of faith kicks in, I was able to believe outside of my sphere of believing. And you need to understand this. There's things that, even in my family, I could use my faith to get things for them. But now they're older, I got to get agreement with them on things. I can't just override and just use my faith to get what I want for them. There's going to have to be agreement in the things. So your range of faith gets limited into areas. But you know, it's just like me, a gift of faith. The first time that a gift of faith operated through me, I was a Christian for a few years, and we had two girls down the street from us were in our back alley riding bicycles down through, and they end up catching handlebars, and one of them fell off, hit their head on the macadam. And I remember we, you know, had out back there, we had a hedge back there and you couldn't see, but I heard them go down. And I got up to go out back I was sitting out in the yard out back. In fact, I was sitting out there. I had my Bible. I was out there reading. The kids were playing in the yard. And I remember them going out there and walking up through. As I got up to go out, I could hear one girl crying. And I got up to walk out and I remember Kenneth Hagin had talked about it. He said, like, the gift of faith drops on you. He said he used example of, like, he said dropping like a coin in a telephone. Remember the days you used to have telephone booths and you drop a coin in them? Some of you maybe don't remember those. But anyhow, you drop. But he said it was like that. It's like just something fell in to you. And when I stood up and started walking out there, that thing fell on me, and I tell you, I was just as calm. I walked out. We had a gate in the back, opened the gate, walked out. There's this girl who was laying on the ground. She's laying there, and she's motionless. Her sister's crying. And I just as calmly walked up. I looked at this little girl, and I said, "You go down the street, you go get your parents. Go." So she went down the street to get her parents. I just went and knelt down beside the girl. She had this big knot on her head here where her forehead had hit the concrete. I laid my hands on her, just spoke a few words in tongues. Her eyes opened up. This swelling just went down until there was a little mark about that big on her head. That's about it was always there. She got up off the ground. Now, I didn't do that by my faith. That gift dropped on me. That gift of faith dropped on me. I was able to do that. Because, see, I just can't go around. If I did that by my faith, I'd just go around and do that to everybody.
Well, let me tell you, that ain't working. I can't do that for everybody. That gift dropped on me, and I was able to go out there and do that. With Jesus, I know what's going on here in reading this. I know what's happening. This isn't him just using his faith out there on this thing. There's a gift in operation. God sent him. Why? We don't know. Somebody may have been praying for this individual or doing whatever. May have been. But whatever's going on, there's a gift that goes into operation. So there's the things that we have to learn to yield to the Holy Spirit on things. There's things that we have to. Sometimes gifts will come. I've had it a number of times that happened. We had a gift of faith dropped on me. I had a gift of faith concerning Wanda's uncle fell off a tractor and rolled down a bank and that stuff and hit his head. And he was. They said that they were doing an operation, a brain operation, to relieve blood clots in the brain. And they said that he would never be the same again, that he would, because of this accident. And so they had done the operation and that stuff, and he was supposed to still be in an unconscious state. But the Spirit of the Lord came on me, and the gift of faith dropped on me, and I declared him healed in the name of Jesus. I wasn't even at the hospital. I was in Lebanon. He's in Harrisburg in the hospital. I declared him healed. I told Wanda, I said, Wanda, and she can verify that night it had happened, I said to her, your uncle's fine. Don't you worry a thing about it. He's okay. Don't you worry. Now, I wasn't saying that because of my faith. That gift's on you. My word, you get a boldness on you about stuff. And that dropped on me, and I just knew that I knew that that man's healed. Well, the next day, she took my daughter, Elena, who was really little then at that time, was just a little type, and took her and went up to Harrisburg Hospital to see her uncle. And got up there to see her uncle. He's walking around the hospital like he never had nothing wrong with him. He's walking all over the places, and the doctors are going like, What happened here? What happened with this? Well, I know what happened the night before. The gift of faith dropped on me. Now, I can't just go through and throw a switch and make that happen. If I do, I'd keep that switch on all the time. My words. See, if you had something like that, you could go clean out a hospital or something like that. But you can't make that happen. That Bible tells us strictly that is as the Spirit wills. That is not as Ed wills. That is not, I come to such a great place of faith, I can do that. That's the falsity of this stuff that's taught. It's unscriptural. Your faith will never come so great you can just go around and do everything you want. Jesus didn't. You ain't either. If he could have just done it, he should have cleared the porches out, shouldn't he? See, we got so much false teaching in the church and false things that are being said and false stuff. It's because of unspiritual people that don't know how the Spirit operates. They don't know what goes on. They don't know what happened. And they're nice people. They want to do well, but they have thrown out most of the Bible. This ain't for us today. Jesus did some things back then, and he did it all because he was God. Good luck the rest of you. Hallelujah. But we find out something interesting about this individual because he goes on here. He didn't know who healed him. He said, for Jesus withdrew the multitude. He said afterwards in verse 14, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you've been made well. He didn't say your faith made you well, did he? Listen what he says to him. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come on you. In other words, this guy had this problem because of sin. And he was warned to stay away from sin and do something worse to you. See, God didn't make this man sick to teach him something. Sin did this to him. And sin will do worse if you persist in it. And understand this. There are many Christians who are sick because of sin. It ain't God. It's sin. Sin in their lives. We need to understand that. People get into things. Sin opens the door for Satan to come and attack people and do things. There's many people that that's why we don't judge whether somebody is good or how good or how bad, because there's people that seem to be really nice and good people have very shadow, a lot of things that are hidden that if they were brought out, everybody'd be shocked. There's loads of people, that go around. I remember a woman years ago, she told me, she said, talk to me about my testimony, and I would give my testimony about how God saved me and what God did, and being delivered from alcohol and all that kind of stuff and drugs and things. And, And she said to me one time, she said, I really don't have a good testimony. She said, I never really did a whole lot of bad stuff or anything like that. This woman was one of the biggest gossips, and she was a Christian. She was still living like a heathen. But she didn't recognize what a heathen she was. And she just kept living like the heathen she always was. She might have got born again, but she was living like hell. All she did was gossip and run around and talk. It's a troublemaker. She said she didn't have a testimony. She didn't have a testimony because she lived like hell. That's why she didn't have a testimony. See, so many people today, I mean, in the church world, there's loads of Christians that are much more living worse lives than drug addicts and drunkards. Full of more heathen stuff and full more evil. And they don't recognize it. This is real bad and that's real bad. I'm going to tell you, that's why you don't see a list in the Bible. This is the number one sin. This is 2, 3, 4. Now you're down here doing this one. This ain't quite as bad. So you can do a lot of that. You know, it ain't listed as such. The wages of sin is always death. Never changes. Now some things may bring you death a little quicker than other stuff. But nonetheless, it'll work. Some just show up after a long period of time. A long period of time, then it shows up. Some things show up quicker than others. But number one, things will show up. They'll start to show up. But see, if you learn to live a life of faith, this is the wonder of the life of faith. If you understand faith, faith will keep you out of trouble. Faith will keep you out of sin. I have never found people who really operate in faith and maintain their faith life have a bunch of sin life. They never do. You know, even ministers, you go back to the healing revivals of the 1950s, the major ministers, the major ones who God used probably the most powerful ways during the 1950 healing revivals, most of them died, were dead in the 1960s. Some of them died, one of the prophets that died was 29 years old. Brother Hagin said, most miraculous ministry you ever want to see. But you know, he got over into things. You know, God can use a person powerful, but they don't necessarily mean that they're really walking and living by faith. He had a lot of his background. He was not good at things he was doing. A.A. Allen died of alcohol poisoning. He was an alcoholic. He'd go to meetings and do miraculous things God had on him. But his alcohol caught up on him. He would be drunk. He'd be a drunkard. See, people are going along. They think because God's using a person powerful, you know, just because God uses me doesn't mean that I'm not doing things wrong. See, you can't judge things by what you see. See, a lot of people think, well, God's using somebody powerful. That's why, PTL ended up in the mess of this. People saw what was good happening on the outside, and they didn't read all the bad stuff that was going on, lying, cheating, and stealing going on in the background. It caught up with them, didn't it? Then when it showed up, all these people got upset. Well, number one, we ain't following men anyhow. We're following the Word. See, I know what they were doing. They were following men. They were following people. And when their favorite person stumbled up, it threw their Christianity. My Christianity isn't tied on a man. It's tied on Jesus Christ, the man. That's where it's tied to. He never stumbles, so I'm safe. He ain't going to stumble. We're going to do just fine with him. But when you're tied to what people, because people, God can use people powerfully, and that doesn't mean they're all right. It doesn't mean that they're okay. That isn't what things are judged by. Things are judged by the Word of God. I mean, think about, I remember Kenneth Hagin talking about the fact of, what's her name out of Pittsburgh? Catherine Kuhlman. Catherine Kuhlman, she died of a heart ailment. She had a heart problem and she ended up dying from it. Now, Catherine Kuhlman got more people healed in a little bit. Catherine Kuhlman had a really miraculous, supernatural, miraculous ministry. And you know what Catherine Kuhlman said? Catherine Kuhlman said this, her own words. It's written. People can see. She said, when she went and turned around here, she said, I don't have faith to be, she said, I don't have the faith to be healed. See, the fact that God used her in a miraculous way didn't mean that she had faith. You know, when a gift operates, when a gift of faith operates through me, it isn't on the basis of my faith. It's on the basis of the gift of God. God anointed a donkey to talk. Hey, you got hope. And that's all he's doing is anointing donkeys to get over yourself. He's still anointing donkeys today. Get over it. It works. It doesn't work because of your righteousness. It doesn't work by your holiness. It works by His. And faith in His holiness and walking in what He's made you instead of what you're making you. That's why it works. But it's by Him. It's not by us. Catherine Coleman said, I couldn't believe. She died. A woman who God used miraculously. More people got healed and delivered through her ministry. God did just wonderful things. But she couldn't believe for her own healing. See, her gift wasn't to heal her. Her gift was for other people. The gift that works in me ain't for me. It's for you. I don't get healed by the gift in me. I don't care how much the healing, gifts of healing and stuff. I don't get healed in that manner. It's not for me. So don't get this idea that you get a gift that makes you a big deal. No, all you are is a package to carry to other people. You don't even get the gift. It's not for you. So don't pat yourself on the back. It ain't for you. It's for somebody else. That's what it's for. My ministry to teach, thank God, you know, I learned. But I got to study to learn, and I get revelations of things and stuff from God. I got to go and learn. But I get the revelations of God is to carry to you. That's what it's for. If I don't carry it to you, this is why a lot of people don't ever get much, because whatever they get from God, it's always about them. It's always for their life and for their comfort and for their whatever. Learn this about the ministry. If you want to be in the ministry, it's about you're going to have to give and serve other people. It's about other people. It ain't about you. It ain't about you getting attention. It's about bringing attention to Jesus Christ. It's exalting the Word of God. It's not about men. We have so much men in ministry and people in ministry and men and women in ministry who so many stars. And I'm going to tell you what, we need to see a lot of stars fall because they're stars. They want to be stars. I want Jesus to be the star. We want to point people to Jesus because that's where the power comes from. It don't come from me. If Jesus don't show up, it's just us. Dear Lord, I hate to think all I get's you guys. Dear Lord, that's it? Well, don't you think the same way? All you get? Won't you want more than what is sitting around here? Dear God. I'm not knocking you. I'm just trying to tell you. See, it gets so sudden in our way of thinking around here. No, this is about God. If God don't show up, the rest of it don't even matter. It's about Him showing up. It's about Him showing up. It's about Him revealing Himself. He's the miracle worker. We're just vessels He does it through. We get the opportunity to get used. Hallelujah. And that's what we're doing. We get ourselves over. We learn how to let the Word use us. I study the Word to let the Word use me. To learn how the Word works. What the Word says and then follow that. Convey that. Let it do. You know, you could turn around and you can convey the Word to people. And you know, if you've conveyed the truth and they believe it, they may be able to do things you can't do. Some people, they'll carry the Word, but they don't believe it for themselves. But they'll take that Word and they'll give it to somebody else and they'll believe it and it'll work for them. There was a revival started up in Canada years back. Two guys ran out of money. They didn't have no money. And they thought, well, they're going to start out. They were out sort of in a little bit of nowhere. They didn't have no money. They didn't have things weren't working out for them. And the one guy said, you know what we could do? He said, we could have a start a church service and take an offering. He said, I know. He said, I grew up in this stuff. He said, I saw them how they do that and they go preach and take an offering. He said, let's go into town. And he said, he told the other guy what they're going to do. And they went into town. These two guys, unsaved men. They went into town. This guy got himself a Bible. He knew enough about it. Got a Bible. Did some preaching on some stuff. People got saved. They started revival in the town. And the town had this big revival took off in this place. By two sinners. Why? It was by the Word of God. It wasn't by them. The Word of God. See, that's why you don't get puffed up about yourself. If God does something, He probably did it in spite of you. But the word, if you put out the Word, the life is in the Word. The Word's the seed that produces. It's the Word. That's why Jesus Christ is the Word of God. When we follow these words of this book that was given to us and under this covenant, we're putting the power of Jesus Christ out there. That Word can produce everything He is. It'll produce everything he is. And when the church sat down and say, well, we don't have this today and we don't have that today, so they don't preach it, so there's no word to bring power, so we just have religion. Because anything good, we don't have anymore. It all left. That was for the disciples. I'm a disciple. I want you to know that. I'm a disciple, and I'm as much a disciple as Peter is. In fact, I haven't done some of the dumb stuff he did. I ain't done. So let's get real about this stuff. But we know this. Look how God used Peter. Well, he's going to use you, and you ain't bright either. But you make yourself available, and you carry the word, and you be a carrier of the word of God, and you get yourself out. I'm just going to tell you, you take it. Life follows it, folks. It follows the word. It follows the word of God. Hallelujah. And that's what it is. We got to bring Jesus back to the forefront of the church. He's not anymore. People see what he has and they want what he has. But what about him? See, that guy came and glorified God. He recognized where it came from. He didn't come and glorify Jesus. Do you notice? He didn't know Jesus was God near. He glorified God. This man came and glorified God. He knew that a man can't do. You need to understand, men can't do. Anytime God has operated through me in a supernatural way, I know this. I can't do that. It's not me doing that. It's him doing that through me. It's him. And you need to come. You're not going to come to some great place of faith where you do all this stuff. Like I said, he used a donkey supernatural, and a donkey had enough sense to keep alive from an angel, and the prophet didn't. We got a lot of dummies today out here in ministry, believe me. And they're only alive because of the goodness and mercy of God. They're so stupid they'd an angel to done cut their head off. Pray God, I'll be the donkey. I'll be the guy that's a beat. I'll carry it. The donkey's a carrier. I'll be a carrier. I'll carry the message. I'll carry the stuff. I'll be the donkey. That'll do you. I'm going to let Jesus sit on my back. I'm not going to ride the donkey. Everybody else wants to ride the donkey. I don't want to ride the donkey. Hallelujah. I want to be used by Jesus. Amen. And so do you, don't you? Hallelujah. And you can be. Just like I talked about people. You know, just because God anointed people, they weren't special. That didn't make them full of faith. That didn't make them full just because he anointed them. You can grow in your faith and develop in your faith where God can use you and you can live a clean life. And if you learn to live a life of faith, it'll help you big time living a clean life. Because faith comes by hearing the word, and a person who becomes a person of faith is a person who learns to walk in light of the word. You can't be turning around and staying close to the word and living in sin. It ain't going to happen. Anybody that ever knows goes and lives in sin because they stay away from the word, they're away from that stuff, and they don't. You know, we don't get around too much of Christianity. We don't. All of our friends are sinners and all this kind of stuff, and we're doing it. So they live like it. You stay close to the word, you'll stay into faith, and the more you stay in the areas of faith, you're going to find the further things that corrupted you and got you in trouble get further away from you, where it is only natural that you don't want them. It isn't something you're struggling to stay away from. We're not running an AA program and you're trying to stay away from the booze. The word will keep you where you won't want the booze. You won't want it. You won't want the drug. You won't want the stuff. You won't want the neighbor's wife. You won't want it. That's the difference. Religion is always trying to stay clean. Faith walks clean. Faith lives clean. Faith wants to follow God. It don't want the bad stuff. It wants the good stuff. That's what it wants. It becomes natural. The Christian walk is just as natural as the walk of the world. They follow their daddy, I follow mine. It's natural. It's not this big war of me trying to stay away from the sin. Whoa, it is so big. Grace abounds, man. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. The grace in me is bigger than any of the sin that shows up. I'm not going to have, you know, I don't have to be scared of Las Vegas. I'm going to go out there and get into gambling. I'm going to go crazy. Don't even drive me through town. Don't let me see the buildings. Oh my God, what might happen? See, I might go there and preach Christ. What do you think? You see, Religion has messed things up so much, and it's getting people's minds all warped and weird. And they, what happens is they end up with no faith in the power of God. Can God save us? Jesus better quick come back, or we're all going to go to hell. I can see it. None of us are going to make it. There's Christians that believe like that. There's Christians that believe if something don't change. There's Christians out here that are moving into compounds and people are trying to get out, get away, hiding because all that's going to come. They're getting stuff. They're going to caves and stuff and things. There's all kind of weird stuff going on out here, folks. People call themselves Christians. We're going to hide out all these bad guys. We got to hide. We're not going to go into all the world and preach the gospel in your cave. What on earth? You see, lies make you self-centered and selfish. They don't see themselves as that. They don't see that what they become is self-centered and selfish. I'm going to go save me and the hell with the rest of you. That's exactly what they're doing. They don't care if others go to hell. I'm going to hide to protect me. Folks, this is good stuff we're talking about here. You don't want these spirits get on you because they're out here and they're getting on people. And people are getting into weird stuff. My God, I ain't hiding. I want the devil to have to look in my face every day. Hallelujah. We're going places. We're not hiding out anymore. Glory to God. We're the church of Jesus Christ. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We need to act and live. This is part of the life of faith. This is part of the life of faith, is living like He's like us. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Your faith will make you well. Your faith will heal you. Hallelujah. You learn to operate in this faith and learn to do it, and you can share it with others. Hallelujah. Tell others to do what you're doing. That's an easy thing to do. Hallelujah. You know, over the years, I learned how to do things working on jobs. And over the years, I've had to train people on jobs that I worked, and they would train people. I worked at HB Reese Gandy Company. I'd train people. I was in the military. I'd train people and that stuff to do the jobs. You know, I was sent to school and that stuff when I was in Vietnam. I did training in Vietnamese soldiers and stuff, and the Vietnamese, on how to repair simple radio equipment and that kind of stuff. I'd teach people how to do that kind of stuff. It wasn't some big, hard thing for me. It's because I knew how to repair the radio. So I would just turn around and tell them what I'd do to fix them. See, you as a Christian, you should, you know, one of the big problems we have today is this. People know a lot of theory, Christian theory, but they've never lived it. They don't know if it works. They haven't. So they can't tell people how to do it because they've never done it. But what you've done, you can tell people how to do. If you can't, there's something wrong with you. You can tell people how you did it, you know. My words, you know, I went to Hershey one time. I'll tell you what, I can tell people how to get there. I don't have to pray and ask God and go, I'm going to call the pastor and say, Pastor, could you tell this person how to get to Hershey? Would you please do that for me? No, I have been there. I know how to get there. Well, I got to salvation one day. I know how I got there. I can tell somebody how to get there because I know how I got there. I always wonder if a person ever got there when they say they can't tell somebody else, they don't know how to tell them. Well, then they're telling me, I ain't ever been there either. Because I don't know how to get there. If you don't know how you got there, how could you not know how you got there? I know how I got there. I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I confessed His Lordship. That's how I got there. And you know, I got there, I didn't get there in a church. I got there in my living room. About midnight, kneeling on the floor, by the sofa. That's how I got, I didn't have some tag team of guys there, but 47 ministers explaining all kind of stuff to how to... They had a tag team and they were trying to get me saved. I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, just like the Bible said. Got born again. so changed my life that my wife said, I'm living with a different man. Without me, I never preached to her one time. I never told her. The Lord didn't tell me not to say anything to her. He said, you let her alone. She don't trust you anyhow. She said one day, she said, I'm living with a different man. Well, how'd she get living with a different man? It changed. See, I don't believe in salvation that don't change lives. I don't believe born again, you still live like hell. I don't believe in that. The law of God's written in your heart. Hallelujah. The law's written in you. Glory to God. It's down in the inside. The love of God, you still don't want to lie, cheat, steal, and do all that kind of stuff. You don't want to hide away from God and stay away from Christians. You want to get near them. You know. Say, I don't go to church. I don't believe you have to go to church, be a Christian. No, you don't, but you could sure tell you, you can never live a clean, good life if you don't hang around the right people. Bad company corrupts good morals. You hang around sinners, you're going to live just like them. Don't ever tell me a good Christian. You know, I don't need to go to church to be a good Christian. Biggest lie ever told. I never went met one of them who was ever a good Christian. Always told me. Call the church asking for help. Where do you go to church at? Well, I'm a Christian, but I don't go to church. Why? Well, I always say to them, why are you calling church for help then? You don't like us. You only want our money. Say, you don't like being around us and you're a good Christian? Say, you ain't a good Christian. I just tell them. The Bible says don't forsake the assembly of yourself together. I said, you're poor because you're disobedient. You don't have stuff because you're living evil. That's what's wrong with you. Well, who are you to judge? I say, I'm not judging you. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I say, don't you like what Jesus says? Well, no, I don't know about that. Well, we got, you know, we need to get around where we just get down to brass tacks about some of this stuff with people. But we let them get away with so much, and we fed them so much and took care of them so much, they think that they ain't going to go to heaven just because we fed them. Oh, yeah. They think they're going to heaven. They think they're all right. Because we've told them, you can get anything you want from us because, you know, we're just such nice people. You don't ever have to come to God. You know, we're just going to take care of you. And they get the idea that God's going to do the same. And when they die and open up their eyes in hell, they're going to curse you and curse you for an eternity. They're going to remember your face and your name for the lies that are perpetrated. You think those people in hell don't know how much they've been deceived by the church? Oh, yeah. They know what's going on. They're down there. They can see clearly now. See, we're not supposed to be perfect. We're supposed to let them know. The law is a schoolmaster to bring them to Christ. The law is the knowledge of sin. It ain't free lunch. Law is the knowledge of sin. People got to come to the place that they understand sin and they understand the cost of sin. I've helped people already and I've told them to their face, you stay in your place you're going to go. I just want you to understand it's going to go worse for you. You think today is bad? Wait till tomorrow and the next day and the next day. You keep living like you are. The Word of God's true. It's not going to end up good for you. It's only going to get worse and it's going to get worse. I'm not saying to be miserable. It's just the way it is. You reap what you sow. We get people today telling, well, tomorrow will be better. What reason? If you ain't sowed anything different, there's no reason tomorrow could show up different. It can't. If you sow the same thing, this is why when you're sowing to the Spirit today, you can know what your tomorrow is. You can know your tomorrow. Hallelujah. You sow what's right and you live what's right, it'll come to pass. Hallelujah. Right will be in your future. Hallelujah. But we need to tell people if they aren't sowing what's right, what's going to happen? What's not right? Hallelujah. What's not good is coming. Hallelujah. We're not being mean to people. Father, I want to thank you this morning. Lord God. Father, you're bringing us into line with some things. Some things, Lord God, that you have set in motion for these days and times. You're stirring things up. Lord God, you don't want things to be the same anymore. Lord, there's too many people stepping off each day into an eternity without Christ. There's too many Christians that are leaving this earth and they're not ready to face their Lord. They have too many things, Lord God, Father, that are standing up against them. Lord God, there's many that are going to leave. There's no reward for them whatsoever. And Lord God, that's not your plan. That's not your purpose. Lord God, you're moving things around because, God, you're the rewarder of those who diligently seek you. You're the rewarder of those ones, Lord God, that come after you. And Father God, I pray, Lord, I want people to go after you. I want people to search after you, hunger for you more than anything, and want you more than anything, Lord God. Lord, that's what we need in the church. And Father, I want to thank you. I thank you, Lord God, that you're stirring us up. And Lord God, not to cause problems for us, but Lord God, Lord, to fulfill our dreams and the desires within us. We want more. Hallelujah. Lord God, Lord, I want you to be able to anoint my life. Hallelujah. And Lord God, and do wonderful things for people. Lord God, I don't want to be living and walking in opposition to your plans and your purposes, Lord God. And so, Father God, this is why we're after you. Hallelujah. Lord God, we would thank you all that you have done in the past and the things. But Lord God, I know this. There's much more than we've ever had. There's much more than we've ever known. And it's there. And Lord God, Lord, we want to step into that in this day and time. We want to walk into that place. We want to get into that place, Lord God, where that's at. Hallelujah. And Lord God, I thank you that these things that we're doing right now, I believe are things that are starting to open that door. To open that place that we're going to. Lord God, that we're going to walk in and look, as the prophet Kenneth Hagin says, we're going to step in and we're going to look around and say, my, I never even knew this ever existed. I never even knew it could be this glorious. I never knew that it could be this wonderful. And Lord God, that's where we want to walk into. Lord, we want to step into that place. We want to be in that place. Hallelujah. And Lord God, I thank you. Lord, I appreciate the glory of the past that I've walked in. But Lord God, Lord, the only thing it's done for me for really is made me hungry to step into something better. I know that there's more. I know that there's more, and I want to step into that place. And I thank you today, Father God. We're going to step in that place. Father, I pray today that each one takes seriously the things that are said, and especially concerning the building of their faith and their walking in the areas of faith. Lord God, Lord, it is your desire that you want them well and whole and sound in their bodies, and how to convey that to others. Lord God, so much and so many Christians and so many people that we're around that belong to you, Lord. Lord God, are bound by the devil. They're sick. They're under bondage of many things. And Father God, Father, I want the message to go forth because I want them to see them free. Your children, you've designed that your own children would be free. Your own children, so many of your own children are bound. Oh, Lord God, I know as a parent how I hated to see my own children get sick, my own children hurt. Lord God, how much more you and your great love for your children. And when you see your children under the oppression of the devil, how that you want them free in Jesus' name. And Lord God, we desire for them to be free. And so, Lord God, Lord, we just pray. I pray for the hearts to be open, Lord God, in the church, Lord God. Lord, there be a shaking in the church world, Lord God. Lord, that Lord, that in churches, Lord God, there would be a rebellion would arise, Lord God, in the direction things have been going. And there would be a people who rise up and say, we're not going to have this anymore. There's got to be something better. There's got to be something more. I believe, Lord God, there's that things in some hearts. But Lord God, Lord, I pray for them to rise up in a tenacity, Lord God, to step out and, Lord God, become vocal of these things. And come out, Lord God, Lord, that people would begin to search again, that the Holy Ghost would start to draw hearts, hallelujah, and pulling people to the truth, hallelujah, because it's the truth that will make them free in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, oh Lord, 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 my desire is to see healing in the church run like a river. Oh Lord God, in the church world. Oh Lord, to see your people walk in the freedom that you've called them to. Hallelujah. That they can be well and whole and sound. And Lord God, a sound people produce sound people. Oh Lord God, they'll produce sound people. Lord God, the message will go out and it'll go across the land. Hallelujah. And many who don't know you will come to that glory. Hallelujah, because of the glory that's in the church. Hallelujah. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Rise up. Rise up in this day and time. Rise up with great boldness. Oh,
Hallelujah. Just as the words were spoken to Joshua, to be strong and courageous. And I speak to you today, says the Lord, be strong and courageous. This is not the days to be timid. These are not the days to back off, but these are the days to step forward. Take my word and begin to speak it. Take my word and say it. Yes, yes, there will be opposition to it, but fear not. And don't worry. Just as I was with Moses, I told Joshua I would be with him. Just as I have been with my saints before you, I shall be with you, and you shall walk in the anointing of God. For I will not forsake you. My people who have always stood in the past and who have always been bold to stand, I have stood with them. And their words did not fall to the ground, but their words have went forth. And many were delivered and set free, and so shall it be. Rise up and be strong and be very courageous. Hallelujah. Follow the word of God. Search after the word. Meditate on the word day and night, and your life will be a success, and you'll become what you desire to be, and God's hand will be upon you. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we're going to obey that. We're going to obey that, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we're going to be strong and very courageous. We're not going to back down. Lord God, we're going to be bolder. Oh, Lord God, just as we speak bold now, Lord God, I'm going to be bolder to speak bolder yet. Hallelujah. Lord God, because your word is true. And Father God, we desire and crave the results of your word in manifestation, not just in saying. We want them in manifestation and demonstration that men know that the living God is really alive. It's not by words that he's alive, but he is really alive because he shows himself to his people. Hallelujah. We thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord God. Glory to God. Well, we have an opportunity today. We don't have to tear down. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we can leave it set up for next week. Glory to God. Before we go, I want to pray for Michael. Mike's going to minister. I vote up here, Mike. I want to pray for Mike this morning. Hallelujah. He's going to minister by the anointing of God. Hallelujah. I just believe for a strong anointing on him. The Lord wants to say things and do things, and we want him free to follow the plans and purposes of God. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank you. I thank you for Michael's hunger. Lord God, Lord, you know I've known Mike for a number of years. And Father, he's always had a great craving in his heart and desire, Lord God, for you, but also to be used by you. And I want to thank you, Lord God. I thank you for his faithfulness to teach and minister the word. And Lord God, I thank you, Father God, that he is a vessel who's ready in season and out of season, Lord God, no matter what the season. And I thank you, Father God, the word is alive in him. And Lord, I just thank you that next week the word, is what has been poured into him over the years, things are just going to pour out of him. Hallelujah. Lord God, there's a lot in there. There's a lot of things, Lord God, that are going to be released. Hallelujah. Father, that people need to hear, people need to understand, and people need to comprehend. And Lord God, it'll bless them and help them. And I want to thank you for it, Lord God. Thank you for all that you're going to do to help and bless the people in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Praise God.